Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Take your seats, please, and open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 7. And we will be going to Galatians chapter 3 in just a moment. If you're visiting, it's a privilege to have you here. I pray whatever God is doing in your life by bringing you here, I pray that somehow that you will be blessed just by being here as we simply, as always, get into the Word of God. And as you guys know, we study the New Testament on Sunday mornings and the Old Testament on Wednesday nights, and we'll be in Genesis this Wednesday evening if you'd like to join us for that. Last week was a very busy week, so I got up on Monday, and usually it's kind of my day off. My wife would say I don't take a day off, but what does she know? What does she know? And then, so I studied on Monday, and I studied on Tuesday for the message for today. And then I came back yesterday morning a little bit before the day got going, and then last night. And so I went to bed kind of uncomfortable, you know, with what was before me at that point. But I just, as always, I just submitted it to the Lord. It was time to go to bed, and so I submitted it to the Lord. In the middle of the night, I woke up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And right before me in my mind's eye was an outline that I'm going to share with you of today's message. So prayerfully, it will be a blessing to you. You know, so you must remain flexible. What does that mean? All that work I did prior to that was for naught? No, I learned a lot, and maybe I'll circle around for that. But as we continue our study in the book of Galatians, I thought it would be wonderful early in the morning today to look at we are heirs according to the changeless promise. Now look at that again. We are heirs. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the blessing that we have because we are Christians today. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you recognize your need to, and you repented of your sin and surrendered your life and gave your life to Him, then you are truly born from above, born again. If not, I encourage you to do it. It's a life-changing experience. It's radical. It really is, but there's nothing like it. Truly, there's nothing like it. So we are heirs, notice, according to the, what's the next word? Changeless. That means it won't change. It'll never change. As we get to Galatians here in a moment, we will look at eight promises. As we go through it, you're going to see eight different times the word promise or promises is mentioned. It's amazing when you look just at these short verses here as we close out chapter 3 of Galatians. And so that's what we're going to look at, the changeless promise. And we can stand upon these promises. They should radically change our lives. They should drive us so much that we cannot hold within us the truth that is found. As Jeremiah, as he went through everything that he went through, he came to the point and he says, I am not going to speak anymore. Because every time I speak, it just leads to disaster. This Bill's paraphrased version, okay? And then he came to a point and he said, but I couldn't hold it within. Is God's word inside of us that way, that we can't hold it within? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What are our devotional habits like? Think back through the last 7 days. Have you been in the word of God? Because it's important that we would, because we want our faith to grow. We want to be protected in a spiritual true sense. We are heirs according to the changeless promises of God. It's an amazing thing. Here in chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, we've been contrasting the truth of what the law stands for and then contrasting it with the grace of God. In verse 18 of chapter 7 of Hebrews, the writer said, for on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment. Why? The law it's speaking of. Because of its weakness and unprofitableness. The law had a place as we've been studying, but it was only there to guide us to the point of the grace of God and how we can truly be saved today. It had its purpose, but it could not be fulfilled in our lives, through our efforts and through our works, no way. We always come up short. And so then Christ entered in and set us free. Notice verse 19, for the law made, what's the next word? Nothing. For the law made nothing perfect. It didn't complete anything as far as our salvation that is found in Christ Jesus. On the other hand, there is the bringing of a better hope. Now notice where it comes from, through which we draw near to God. We draw near to God because of this better hope that is found in Christ Jesus. Now go to verse 28 of this same chapter. For the law appoints as high priest men. The Levitical law appointed as high priest men who have weaknesses. They had to always go for themselves and make a sacrifice. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, notice it came after the law, appoints the Son, capital S-O-N, who would that be? Jesus, who has been perfected in how long?
Forever.
Forever. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 8. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest, capital H, capital P, pointing to Christ. We have such a high priest, separate from the Levitical priesthood, who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He is, Christ, verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, that's a spiritual temple, heaven, which the Lord erected and not man. Obviously, it's pointing to heaven. Verse 3, for every high priest is appointed, the Levitical high priest, is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, capital O, Christ, also have something to offer. What did he offer? Himself. Verse 4, for he, if he, Christ, were on earth, he would not be a priest because he didn't come through the Levitical line. He came through Judah. He would not be a priest since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. So what we have back in the Old Testament is a copy of the shadow of things to come. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, now we go back into Exodus chapter 25, verse 40, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Moses, be careful. Do everything that I show you right now. I'm going to give you a pattern. I'm going to show you what you are to do. Be careful to make it exactly like that. And then verse 6, but now, whenever you see those words, but now, just pause because something really good comes after it. But now he, Christ, has obtained a more excellent and an exalted ministry, inasmuch as he, Christ, is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And so God is a God of promises. He's a God that will keep his word. He's a God that loves us, and he's a God that has a plan for each and every one of us. And we see it in his promises. So what we're going to do, we're going to go back to Galatians chapter 3. You can turn there now. Just go back to Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to go through verses 15 through 29 briefly, because in a lot of ways, as we've been starting from Genesis or Galatians 1:1, we've been going forward. We've touched base in the heart of this section of Scripture many times. And then we're going to just pause and we're going to just look at the promises that are for you and I. In this section of Scripture, Paul will emphasize what he has said before by using a variety of illustrations that have special reference to the lifestyles of and thought patterns of those who live in Galatia. These illustrations, there's three of them. One has to do with a person's last will and testament. I'd like to ask you today, because I believe it's important, have you established a will and testament? Now, there's young people here. The answer for you would be no. But you know, if you get above 18, definitely above 21, definitely if you're married, have you got put together a will and testament? You should. And so we're going to see that used as an example to drive in the purposes that God has for his people. He's going to talk about a mediator. A mediator is very, very important. We'll see Moses was a mediator representing God, but there's another mediator, a capital M, Christ, who mediates between the Father and mankind. And then we're going to see again this tutor. There's a tutor. But please keep in mind that the issue that Paul is trying to get across to those that he loves in Galatia and to us today is an issue of the law versus grace. The law says, do this and live, but you have to do it. It commands that, but gives us neither feet nor hands to complete it. There's a command and that says, do this, but we don't find the power to do it. Matter of fact, we find inside of ourselves the will to do opposite that. What do you want to do when it says, do not walk on the grass? You just want to go over there and stomp on it. You really do. That's because we are prone to sin. See, grace bids us to fly and gives us wings. Isn't that neat? Grace bids us to fly and gives us wings. Now, how many people here know what a plumb line is? Okay. How many do not know? Nobody, somebody over there. Would you lean over and explain it to Grace over there, please, what a plumb line is? It's what these things that these, I don't know much about, these carpenters use, and they want to do a straight line. So they, it's chalked up, they bring it out like that, and they make it real tight, and they pick it up and go, boom, and then they have a plumb line, a guiding line to go by. A plumb line can only prove that a crooked wall is crooked. No matter how you use it, a plumb line cannot make a crooked wall straight. The law was God's plumb line designed to show all people that they are crooked or sinful. It was never intended to make us straight or righteous, and indeed, it never can do that. It never could, never will, it cannot. It's just a plumb line. That's what the law is. But today, we have grace through Jesus Christ. We are set free, and we have promise after promise after promise in the Scripture because of what He has done for us. Now, listen to the definition of promise. It's a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. So after we go through Galatians here in these verses, we're going to talk about the promises. We see eight times it's mentioned here. And then we're going to go and we're going to look at some of the things that God says, I will do. Anybody ready for that? Yeah, that was weak, but we're going to go there. You're going to either be with me or you got to leave now, okay? All right, just kidding. But we're going to look at those promises, and we're going to realize that they're true. There's no variance. It is true. It's for you and I because of what Jesus Christ has done. It's a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. It can be also translated to mean to give assurance. It can be a pledge, a vow, a guarantee, an oath, a bond, an agreement, commitment. A contract, definitely a covenant. One, give one's word to swear that you will do something, or it is your word of honor. And that's what it will be. Promise in that way. Look at verse 15 of chapter 3 of Galatians. Paul says, brethren, I speak in the manner of men. I'm going to use a human illustration. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now, Vi and I have a will. We went through an attorney and established that will. It cannot change by somebody else coming in. It's legally bound, binding, and it will be fulfilled on the death of Vi and I. Now, in there, obviously, is an agreement that if, because Vi's going to go first, okay, and I'm going to hang around. There's a joke to that. There's a long joke on that one, okay? But anyway, you know, when I got to tell you. Do you want me to tell you on Vi? Huh? How many want me to tell on Vi? Okay, I really do that. We were at this neat funeral. A military person had died. You know, the 12-gun salute and all that, everything, you know, and just taps and all of that and just along that and the flag. And that is a very touching moment, truly is. So, you know, they fold the flag and then they go over and they present it to the person that is still alive and all that. And then it goes on, the ceremony is ended in that way. But it's a very touching moment. So we're on the way home and Vi says, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle it when they give me that flag. And I looked over at her and I said, who said I'm going to die first? What are you cooking? But it's true. What he's talking about here is this will and testament that is established, and it's binding until the person who has established it passes on. Now he goes on and he says, now, after he introduces it that way, now to Abraham and his seed. Now notice it's capital S. Now remember, I have said many times in the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, right? In the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so we have here an illustration of that reality and truth. We see a certain way that it's presented, but yet now it's amplified in the New Testament, and we get clarity on what was being established in the Old Testament. Now to Abraham and his seed, capital S, that means Christ. Were the promises made? He does not say, and to seeds as of many. You know, go back and look at Genesis chapter 12, you'll see, and it says, but as seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, capital S. Now he gives us the understanding. Who is Christ? It is Christ. So the Father is saying that which was spoken to Abraham was from him, it was a promise, and it will be fulfilled through his Son, Jesus Christ. This I say in verse 17, that the law, which was 430 years after the promise was given, cannot annul, can't change the covenant of promise that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. We can go back to Genesis chapter 3. We can see that warfare would be, there would be a battle between Lucifer and the seed of woman, which would be Christ. Christ would totally destroy Lucifer, as we see there. And so he's pointing, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. So he's telling us God's made a promise, and it's going to stand strong, and it will be carried through to the very end. Then in verse 18, it says, for if the inheritance of the law is, for if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham. How? By promise. By promise. God spoke and promised Abraham so it would come true. It speaks of Abraham in chapter 4 of Romans that he did not waver in his faith. Now, that doesn't mean that he'd never had doubts. It means as he journeyed on his life, ultimately he stayed true to the promise that he was given. But at times, he didn't know how was it going to be fulfilled. He was there 100 years old. She was 90 years old. Where's the heir going to come from? Totally defeated at that point, not seeing any way through. But God promised. And somewhere in Abraham's heart, even though he knew physically that he could not, he just trusted ultimately that God would. Along came who? Isaac. Isaac. God can do anything, amen? He can do anything. And so this promise, the promises that we see, very important. God reached out of heaven, looked to this place called Ur, and saw a guy named Abram. And God knew that in his heart would be that faith. God obviously, before the foundations of the earth were set in place, knew this. But he looked, but Abram had a choice. Get out of your country, leave everything behind, go into this land that you know nothing about, and I will bless you. And I will give you a seed. And it will be multiple things that will happen through the promise that I will give you. It's just an amazing story, is it not? It's wonderful. It truly is. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now, we should really go praise the Lord. Somebody should have given me a praise the Lord there. Okay, thank you. I feel better. Now, how about a hallelujah? I should have had a hallelujah. Okay, we're not really Pentecostal. You know, I'm not trying to point you out because this is your first time here, but don't everybody look at them right now. You're not supposed to do that because they will not come back after you do that. I hope you do come back. But anyway, we're not Pentecostal, but we need to say praise the Lord, right? We need to say, hallelujah. And then we need to say what? Praise-a-luia. We combine them here. You know, we combine them here. What God has done for us is amazing. Amazing. Yeah, I know there's challenges in Scripture, but this part of Scripture just blows me away. Look at verse 19. What purpose then? A total good question. If it's by promise, why did the law come? What purpose then does the law serve? It was added afterward, after the promise. Why? Because of transgressions. Men and women sin. And so, Notice it was there, but it would be there till the seed, capital S, Christ should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator, Moses, on Mount Sinai. The promise had been made to Abraham. Abraham had long gone to be with the Lord in heaven and was with God at that point. And so then the law came, because what was the nation of Israel doing when God gave the law, the commandments, to Moses? They were building a calf, right? They were right there doing that. At the very moment it appears, as you look in Scripture, shows you the rebellion that is inside of us, outside of Christ. And so that's what he's saying. He goes on in verse 20. Well, let's do 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator, Moses. Now, verse 20, a mediator does not mediate for one only. No, a mediator, it's got to be two. And then he gives a contrast, but I want you to know, this is true. You understand what I'm saying, but I want you to know that God is one. He's the one that has made the promises. He's the one that's done everything for us. Then he goes on in verse 21, he says, is the law then against the promises of God? What's the answer to that? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have come by the law. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus said, Father, three times, remove this cup, so to speak, take this cup away from me. I believe that the Father at that point, if there was a law that would have given freedom for all of mankind, he would have chosen that. But there was none. I think that's one of the reasons with Jesus, we see in that story, why we have that written in Scripture, that Jesus prayed that three times, for us to realize there is no other way. No other way. And I'm thankful for that. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Verse 22, that one has a 4-star in my Bible again. But the Scripture has been confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who simply do what? Believe. Isn't that amazing? But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. The law took us to the point of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, he fulfilled all the law. So now the promise is there for each and every one of us. Verse 24, therefore the law was our tutor. It was that guiding thing to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified. How? By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have this evidence in our heart as we read this. The Holy Spirit speaks to us because he dwells inside of us. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And our faith grows as we study the Word of God. That's why we study the Word of God here. So our faith could be strong, strong, very strong. And we can take the message to whomever God would allow us to take it to. In verse 25, he says, and after faith has come, there is no longer, we are no longer under a tutor. No longer the law. Set free. So today, as we've been studying in Galatians for many, many weeks now, there's no way we can be saved by the law. And guess what? After we are saved, there's no way that we can maintain our salvation by the law. It's all by the promise, the grace of God through Christ Jesus in faith as we believe and trust in him. It's a beautiful story, is it not? It's a beautiful reality. It goes on, and he closes out this chapter. He says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, if we've accepted the Lord, we are sons of God. It happened by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There's neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There's no difference. No difference. That was a big thing back there in Galatia at that point. I was talking to Paul Billings. It's a missionary in the nation of Jordan, and he's a little behind. They completed chapter 3 last week. We're completing chapter 3. And he said, Bill, I got to tell you, when I stood before the congregation and all that, there were Muslims, former Muslims, right there before in front of him. There were Muslims that haven't accepted Jesus Christ right there in the midst of the church service. There were Gentiles right there, you know, and the contrast, it couldn't be even more greater because he understands the culture that they have there, the society that is there, the division that is there, which is gigantic. And Christ is saying, it's all gone. It's all the same in Christ. We can all come to heaven the same way. By faith in Jesus Christ. If we're Muslim, if we're from the Buddhist background, if we're from whatever background it is, it doesn't matter. It's all. Notice what it says. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And then verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, small s. And I love this. And heirs according to the promise. Wow. Now go with me, please, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, just for a moment. Let's look at some of these promises this morning. This is when I woke up this morning in the middle of the night, I saw the outline of these verses, this portion of Scripture. So I feel it's really of the Lord that He would really want us to just sit here and listen to what He's done because He's made these promises. Look at verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised them from the dead. Here comes the promise. What's it say? You will be saved. How many here, by a show of hands, have confessed with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised them from the dead? You will be saved. It's a promise. We don't have to doubt that. Saved from what? Saved from the devil's trick. Saved from what? Saved from the law. Saved from what? From this world. Saved. From our sins. It's a promise for you and I. It goes on in verse 10. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. Look at verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what's it say? Is that not amazing? Amen. Any praise the Lord's? Any hallelujahs?
Hallelujah.
Any praise the Lord? I just think it's exciting, is it not? The promises of God. And so we have these promises. So I cannot continue without going on verses 14 and 15 there. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's you and I, ladies and gentlemen. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. If it's so true, why would we ever hide it? We can't. We shouldn't. Jeremiah one day said, Lord, I am not going to preach anymore. You can tell me all that you want me to say, but I'm not going to do it anymore because every time I do it, they persecute me. They throw me in the mire and all that. But then he said, I could not hold it back. It was so in my heart. What holds us back if we realize these promises are true? We've been set free, haven't we? We've received eternal life if we've given our hearts to Jesus Christ, right? All these promises are for us. There's more that's coming before we close here in just a little short time. If it's true, how can we hold it back? Why would we not? Paul's saying, share it. Why would we not? I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty, but I want to be convicted. And if you want to be convicted too, join with me. You can do that. Go to Romans chapter 8, please. Just back a little bit. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. No way we shouldn't do that. Verse 13. And if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you're going to live. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. That's a promise. That's who we are. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit, capital S, of adoption by whom we cry, Dad. Dad, I can't believe you've done this. And the Spirit himself, verse 16, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs. We're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. That one blows me away. And if indeed we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. Come on, guys, get with it. It really is. I'm not trying to be stupid, but I am being stupid. Promise. That's who we are today. I don't care what the enemy tries to tell you. I know we come short. I come short. I get, you know, and I'm just like you. But I go back again. I wake up each morning and go, okay, that which is behind me is behind me. I press forward toward the high call of God in Christ Jesus. This is what's before me. What do you got planned today, Lord? I'm quick to ask him to forgive me. And I try to do that when I put my little headie on my little pillow at night. Lord, if there's anything you want to reveal to me, I just want to give you praise and all that. But I'm so excited. What can happen today? What can happen? I can say this because they're not here. But I just simply gave an invitation to our neighbors. If you want to come to church, come on. And she left it at that. And then they were going through some things, and then they showed up, sat right back there, and I couldn't believe they were back there. And then when a musician began to sing, then Jesse started weeping like crazy. Weeping like crazy. He gave his heart to Jesus that night. Amanda gave her heart to Jesus too. He was in the worship conference yesterday, you know, and he's grown to such a point that, you know, God has changed him so much. He has this band. It's a secular band. But, you know, and it's been successful. They're coming out with another CD. And it's been successful. But he just said to Nolan yesterday, he said, you know, I want to put together a Christian band. And I thought, well, not that the Christian band is the answer to all things, but the change of a heart. Amen?
Amen.
The change of a heart. It's amazing. You want to see some more promises? Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. We'll wrap it up here in just a moment. Here's one of these things. But God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Look at this. What did he do even when we were dead in our trespasses? He made us alive together with Christ. He knew that we would accept Christ. By grace you have been saved. And notice what he did, the promise, verse 6, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And it goes on to say we are his workmanship. Very special people. And last, let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Nolan and Ed, and you guys, if you want to come on up, please. Promise, watch. Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Promise, promise, and they shall be his people. Promise, God himself will be with them and be their God. Promise, verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Promise, there shall be no more death. Promise, nor sorrow. Promise, nor crying. Promise, you guys getting sick of me yet? There shall be no more pain. Promise, for the former things have passed away. Promise. Promise. God said it, that is it. We don't have to believe it. Some will say, God said it, I believe it, that makes it true, that's it. No, okay, it's good to believe. God said it, that's it. Totally it. Right there that you see. Then, verse 4, he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Promise. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. That's a promise. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Promise. He who overcomes shall inherit just a few things. Verse 7. True? What's it say?
All.
And what does all mean?
All.
Look at that. Promise. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Promise. And it's not by the law. It's not by our works. It's not by our morality. It's not whether we attend church or not. It's not anything that we can do. It's simply through everything that Christ Jesus has done on our behalf. And he came, he gave his life, he died on that cross, he was buried for us, but he rose from the dead to the living. He ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, and Jesus Christ is coming back, I think soon. I think soon. And we're ready for it. Amen? Let's stand and let's pray. Father, thank you for these precious, precious people. Lord, they come on a Sunday morning and they come with their Bibles or their phones. And we open the Word of God. Yeah, there's challenges right to the deepest part of my heart at times. But there's always the promise. We lift up your name, Jesus. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We adore you today. May you be glorified in our midst. We love you. If there's any here that don't know you, Lord, they've heard truth today. May they simply say a prayer and ask you to forgive them of their sins. And if there's any here today, Lord, that are trying to fulfill their walk through the law, help them to just turn from that and stand on your promises. Love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the-